Have any of you gotten the chance to see the latest Martin Scorsese movie, Silence? Anybody? It's actually running right now. If you watch it, brace yourself because it's strong. But it's this movie has been in the making since Scorsese read the book in about 1966. So it's a long time coming, huh? The story of two Jesuit priests who actually leave Portugal and travel to Japan to look for a third priest who has been working as a missionary there. The third priest is believed to have committed apostasy, in other words, abandoned the faith, by stepping on the image of Christ after being tormented by the Japanese. And this movie has stark scenes about the torture. So if you don't have the stomach for it, don't go for it. But very, very powerful movie. Now, the role of one of the two priests is played by Andrew Garfield. You probably have seen him in other movies. Now, to play his part, he actually made the spiritual exercises of Ignatius Loyola. You're familiar with that, the spiritual exercises, right? Originally, he did not make these exercises to or for any spiritual purpose. As he says in an interview, he says the only reason he made the spiritual exercises was because he wanted to overcome his not enoughness or the feeling of not being good enough. That's the only reason he did it. But then he says in the interview, something totally unexpected happens. In his words, God, that was the most remarkable thing, falling in love. And how easy it was to fall in love with Jesus. Of course, my aim today is to somehow connect the gospel reading, the scripture readings, to our practical life. But I want to do it through the eyes of Andrew Garfield, because it's a very powerful interview. But before I do that, let me say this. The gospel reading from now until the beginning of Lent is going to be from the Sermon on the Mount. So it's one continuous stretch of readings. We began last week with the Beatitudes, remember? That's what the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. So here are my 3 points for today. I'm calling my first point, who does God want me to be? Who does God want me to be? And I'm beginning with a fabulous statement by Andrew Garfield. He said this as he went through the spiritual exercises. He says, there were many things in the exercises that changed and transformed me, that showed me who I was and where I believe God wanted me to be. So as he went through these a year-long exercise, the exercises take a year to complete. He says, I realized who I was and who God was calling me to be. The Sermon on the Mount shows us who God wants us to be and where we are. So for example, today, as Jesus says, be the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. We both recognize, yeah, dear God, I'm not all there, but I know where you want me to be. Salt and light. And then Jesus says, your light must shine before others so that people may see your good deeds and give glory to your Father in heaven. Now, what are these good deeds? You're going to hear them all the Sundays until Lent. But brace yourself. Brace yourself, because unless we are in love with Jesus, like Garfield talks about, unless we are in love with Jesus, the demands of the coming week are going to be impossible. To be transformed by God through the Sermon on the Mount will require that we fall in love with Jesus. But listen, I know all of us love Jesus. We are here at Mass, for goodness sake. I know we all love Jesus, but that's not what Garfield means. He means, have you fallen in love so deeply with Jesus that you are willing to be transformed into who God wants you to be? So my second point, what is this transformation that God is looking in us? What is this transformation? Let's talk about who God wants us to be. And I'm taking this from the Sermon on the Mount. Huh? Have we fallen so deeply in love with Jesus that we can leave our gifts at the altar, first be reconciled with our brother? Have we fallen that deeply in love with Jesus? Have we fallen so deeply in love with Jesus as to eliminate lust from our hearts? Have we fallen so deeply in love with Jesus that a yes means a yes and a no means a no? That we are people of integrity? Have we fallen so deeply in love with Jesus that we turn the other cheek? Have we fallen so deeply in love with Jesus so that when someone asks us to walk a mile with them, we walk too? Have we fallen so deeply in love with Jesus that we have the capacity to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us? Have we fallen so deeply in love with Jesus so as to seek first the kingdom of God? Have we fallen so deeply in love with Jesus that we dare to pray, Father, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us? Have we fallen so deeply in love with Jesus that we do not pass judgment? Have we fallen so deeply in love with Jesus that our life gives glory to our Heavenly Father? People whose life reflects the lifestyle that Jesus is proposing, who God wants us to be, who God wants to transform us, that is the meaning of being salt and light. This is how we are supposed to be salt and light. Are you and I one of those people that are salt and light? Are we so deeply in love with Jesus to be transformed into salt and light? And here's my third point. Folks, this movie Silence is as I said, it's a very, very difficult movie to watch, because it captures with great intensity the gruesome suffering of the people who refuse to stomp on the image of Jesus. And it also captures the compulsion of those who did that. There's no judgment here. Pain is very, very real. And when pain gets onto you, people can do anything to eliminate pain. And so this movie captures that very beautifully. Now, in the interview, Andrew Garfield speaks about the reason for choosing to act in this movie. And here is a statement that I like very much that I want to connect to today's readings. He says, I've always been drawn to stories that are attempting to turn suffering into beauty. turning suffering into beauty. Just for a moment, look at that crucifix in front of us. That's suffering, huh? But this image of suffering we also find very fascinating. So fascinating that we put it right at a very prominent place in every church. This is the meaning of somebody turning suffering into beauty. God has transformed suffering into beauty. In today's first reading, Isaiah tells us how we can transform suffering into beauty. Hear this. Share your bread with the hungry. Shelter the oppressed and the homeless. Clothe the naked when you see them, and do not turn your back on them. Then your light will break forth like the dawn. We want to be salt and light? Here, Isaiah tells us how we can do that. And then again, Isaiah continues, if you remove from your midst oppression, false accusation, and malicious speech, if you bestow your bread on the hungry and satisfy the afflicted, then light shall rise for you in the darkness, and the gloom shall become for you like midday. So folks, I guess my question today is, are we so deeply in love with Jesus that we can turn suffering into beauty? As we come to celebrate this Eucharist, the Jesus who proclaimed the Beatitudes, the Jesus who proclaimed the Sermon on the Mount, the Jesus who called us to be light and salt, this Jesus is right now here with us. On this altar, suffering turns into beauty. And Jesus transforms us into who he would like us to be, the body of Christ. Let us pray that we might be so in love with Jesus, so deeply in love with Jesus, that we can indeed be transformed into who God wants us to be, and in that way transform suffering into something beautiful. People of God said,